Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me here, as always. I want to remind you that if you ever want to drop us a line, and so many of you do, just drop us a line, info@filmfestivalradio.com. And you can also go to our website, filmfestivalradio.com. That's it. Well, you know what? On our last show, we had guest filmmakers with films that were showcasing and premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival, which is still going on for the rest of this week. But for this show, we are switching it up. Yes, we're going all the way out to the West Coast in sunny, gorgeous Los Angeles to chat with Hilary Hellstein from the Los Angeles Jewish Film Festival, which starts later today, May 2nd, and goes all the way to May 9th. So this is kind of a long festival. I love those kind of big, long festivals like that. You get so much film, and you get parties, and you get workshops, and you get great networking when they're nice and long like this. It's a big, nice, juicy festival that goes, again, May 2 through the 9th. And you can get all of the details about the schedule, the films, the parties, etc. Go directly to their website, lajfilmfest.org. That's lajfilmfest.org. So make sure that you go directly to the site if you want to get the tickets, if you want to find out where all the screenings at the different theaters, because this festival is all over the greater Los Angeles area and some surrounding areas as well. But hey, just go to the website. You can get all the details there. I understand that tonight's opening night festivities will be grand and spectacular. But listen, let me be quiet and let's bring our guest, Hilary, online here to give us more details about the festival so that we can find out directly from the person who is in charge, and she can tell us everything that we need to know about tonight's big gala, opening night gala, I should say. Lots of surprises, but I don't want to give away too much. Let's let Hilary tell us everything when we bring her on board. So let's bring up Hilary's line right now. So let's go.
Absolutely. Hi.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Hi there. Well, first of all, if you could just tell me your position and what you do with the film festival and such, that'd be a great start.
Okay. Well, I am the founder executive director.
Okay.
Co-founder. We started this 14 years ago. I'm the boss. I hate that word, but yes.
So you founded it 14 years ago, so can you just give us a preview? I can only imagine how it's grown in 14 years. So when it first started off, how small or big, or what was it like?
It was, well, first of all, it was smaller. It was based mostly in the Valley of Los Angeles, and over the years it grew. It expanded to the city, and it continued to expand. You know, Los Angeles is it's a sprawling city. There are multiple focal points, meaning there are multiple neighborhoods. And how to reach people in all those neighborhoods is, it's difficult. It's a challenge. And so what we've done is we've expanded our venues. We hold a program every night, one based in a central part of the city, one in the central part of the valley, being Beverly Hills and Encino. And then we have satellite venues. We have one night Pasadena, one night in Thousand Oaks, one night in Santa Clarita, so one night in Hollywood. They're in multiple. So this year I think we're in 11 or 12 different locations. The South Bay, so that we can provide something for everybody. At least one time they don't have to drive far. The other times, if they choose to, they can go. You know, if they live in the valley, it's easier to get there. If they live in the city, it's easier to get there. So we'll play the films, you know, some of them we'll play multiple times so people get to see them without having to fight the traffic. And this is, you know, unique. Other film festivals usually pick one venue and everybody has to come to them. We realize if we want these films to get in front of, you know, an audience, that we need to be a little bit open-minded to providing, you know, the service of bringing it to their community. So that's one thing that sets us apart. And it's grown. It's grown exponentially. And every year people want more and more and more partners want to jump on board and have more venues. And we've been asked to do something as far away as Claremont. So
God, not that far.
But I know. I said that's not really Los Angeles. But
well, if you maybe wanted to adopt them for the sake of the festival, it's okay.
I said, if you guys want to set it up under our name, we're happy to have some. Yes, it's fine. Yes, I know. I know. I never want to turn anybody away.
Well, now, the festival is made two through the night. And in terms of film festivals, that's a nice, long, lengthy festival. So that obviously you have a lot of activities going on. Starting with, tell me a little bit about opening night. I understand that's going to be a biggie.
Yeah, the opening night, it's really interesting. Over the past number of years, we've always kind of focused on a theme of Hollywood and Jews, if you can make it as succinct as that. But Hollywood history, the golden age of Hollywood, refugees who have come over from Europe and started Hollywood and what it started as, coming from their beginnings. Oftentimes you have a lot of the filmmakers had come over during the earlier part of the century, either fleeing persecution in one country or another. Many of them came over in the 30s fleeing Nazi persecution and started, you know, the film business here. In this case, Carl Laemmle is one of the fathers of modern cinema as we know it and was the founder of Universal Studios. He founded Universal Pictures and then Universal City he created as a city in which films would be made. Now we know it as Universal Studios. And it was interesting, he came over in the very early part of the century and really started his film career already in his 40s. He had a very different background and got into the film business with the start of Nickelodeon and took Nickelodeon to a very different level. He started to create them as a place where people would get dressed up on a Saturday night and go out to a nice movie house. And it morphed and became, you know, cinema. And also he started to create films that became serious films. So took his career to the next level of creating anti-war films and things like that. So he really was a visionary on many, many levels. And the irony of it is we're showing it at the Fine Arts Theater, which is a Laemmle owned and operated theater. They're not the direct descendants of Carl Laemmle, they're the cousins of. But it's very interesting. And what actually trumped all of his activities in starting the film business was his humanitarian efforts. And after World War I, he went back to his beloved country of Germany and saw that the German people were in a shambles and helped get them back on their feet with food and clothing and housing, and he used his means and his money to do it. After the onset of, it was actually before the war started, in the early part of the 30s with the rise of Nazism, he took advantage of the fact that he did have connections and the financial means and brought over 300 German Jewish families as refugees. And all those activities ceased when the war started. So, and he was dead by October of 39, so it was a crazy thing, or November. But he's a fascinating man. And we thought that there couldn't be a more appropriate film to kick off the Jewish Film Festival. So
absolutely,
that's why we're chosen that film. And there are many people in the film talking about the history of it, from historians to film critic Leonard Maltin. And, of course, the most well-known in the film is the legendary film director, Peter Bogdanovich. who had his own interest in Nickelodeon, made the film Nickelodeon. And he himself, he said, I was conceived in Europe. My parents fled Nazism, and I was born in the United States. So his story kind of follows. And
yeah.
We'll be honoring him on the closing night for
his
visionary work as a film director.
Yes, absolutely. He's done, of course, so many films on his own, and to know that his life kind of in some way paralleled into this whole opening night film is quite interesting, and that's even better. Oh, my gosh. I wish I could be there for
you.
I understand also Don Was, president of Blue Note Records, will be there, too, and I'm showing my age, but I remember when Don had this really cool band called Was Not Was. And
you're not dating yourself, I'm aware.
We remember those days. We were like 10, so.
Yeah, exactly. He's actually playing on Friday night. They're doing a music festival, and he's playing with Bob Dylan.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my goodness. That's so awesome. I need to fly in this trip.
Yeah.
You know
okay,
where
so you're asking
was.
About Don Was. Yes, I do.
Don Was. Okay, so Don Was will be performing musically. And so there is a, now is there a documentary also about his career or Blue Note Records?
Well, it's about Blue Note Records. It's not actually about Don Was, but Don Was is the current president of Blue Note Records. And, of course, we know his background not just as a musician, but as a producer of so many bands and musicians, including the Rolling Stones and Bonnie Raitt and John Mayer and Bob Dylan, and, you know, the list goes on. But his current position for the past number of years has been as the president of Blue Note Records. And the film is about Blue Note Records. It's actually fascinating and musically an unbelievable documentary. It's the 80th anniversary of Blue Note Records. Blue Note Records was started by two German-Jewish refugees who fled Nazi Germany, where, of course, jazz was banned. They had come earlier to the United States. They were absolutely in awe of this music. They went back and tried to make a go of it, and when jazz was banned, they just said, we're out of here. They went to New York, started Blue Note Records, and now, and that was 1939, 2019, it's 80 years. And, you know, as you, if you know music, you know that anybody, mm-hmm. anybody in the jazz world, and everybody, played on Blue Note. So
yeah.
It really, it covers the history of Blue Note, the musicians then, how these two founders of Blue Note Records worked with these African-American artists to make sure that they had rights, you know, equal pay. I mean, all the things that, you know, were you know, that were important, that they felt a kinship with them, you know. And it, the film chronicles the history of it up to what it is now with Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter and Norah Jones and, you know, other artists taking it into different areas of rap and that kind of stuff. So, you know, and throughout the film, there's people talking about it, including Don Was. So, I mean, I'm over the moon that we were able to find him. He's on tour all the time. The fact that we were able to get Don Was to come out and do a Q&A with the film about Blue Note Records is like, to me, I'm on cloud nine.
I don't blame you. That is definitely a crown jewel of the crown. I would definitely say that for sure. Yeah, and I see that the film was directed by a woman, Sophie Huber. That's even more awesome.
Yes, and
who?
And Swiss.
Oh,
it's actually, the film is actually made in Europe. It's a Europe, yeah, she's a European filmmaker. She actually, I think, lives in Los Angeles now, but she's a Swiss filmmaker. And, yeah, it's amazing. So she's going to be here to do the Q&A with him. But, yeah, I know it's amazing when I see a film like that directed by a woman. It's not what you would expect, although I don't know why we wouldn't expect it, but at the same time, it's awesome.
It is. I would love to talk with her after the festival is over to get more, you know, to see this film and such, but we'll deal with that later. I know you've got a lot going on right now, so.
Yeah, we'll put you in touch with her.
Okay, wonderful. I would love to have her on. I've got about 3 minutes left here. What would you like to tell everyone about coming out to the festival? This is the main question. A lot of people, and I talk to a lot of film festival executives such as yourself, and when the festival is aiming for a specific demographic, a lot of times other people, maybe if they're not into that demographic, they don't fit in. They'll say, well, I wonder, should I go? Is it okay if I go? So is it okay if a person, people who are not Jewish, is it okay? Will they be, you know, they'll find something interesting, I'm sure?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, the way that I program is for all ages. Within reason, adults. We even try to program for families when there's something available, and we push that. We try to make a balance of documentaries and features, shorts, comedies, dramas. Really, it's a very well-thought-out process in the way that we program. And, of course, you know, we want to target, an adult, you know, an audience that is all-inclusive. Of course, everybody's always looking to get younger people to come out to a film festival because the way people have watched films has changed, especially for younger people. We know that the whole film industry has changed, and, you know, the amount of production that goes to theaters versus television. But I think, you know, what we do is we work to have films that will, you know, for instance, we're showing the film Skin. Okay, if you remember the Oscar for the best narrative short film or live-action short film this year, went to a film called Skin, which was about neo-Nazis. And it was created by an Israeli filmmaker who was well-known in Israel, came to the United States, made this film, and won the Oscar. They have gone on to make a feature version of it, which was picked up by A24 and is not due out until the summer. So we got the film. And although there's no Jewish content, that's not important to us because it still talks about the narrative of persecution by white supremacists on any... and we can see what just happened 2 days ago in San Diego. So this is a very relevant, story about what white supremacists consider minorities and cleansing of minorities in America. And the film is an absolutely brilliant film. It stars Jamie Bell, and it's about a young skinhead who is immersed in this group, and he's trying to get himself out. I mean, I see Oscar all over this film. So this is a film that we would anticipate that maybe younger people would be interested in coming out to see. We have another film called Chewdeism, C-H-E-W, about food, which is great for all ages, and people love food. We have family films. We have, you know, the Blue Note film is targeted to any age. I mean, you know, age doesn't discriminate on who enjoys jazz. My best friend's son is, you know, about to go to college, and he's a jazz saxophone player. So, you know, the goal is to get people of all ages to come out to the film in as much as we can. We target students. We target high school students for certain films. We target college students. We have a film called Leona, which is about a 20-year-old young woman in Mexico City. So there's different films, and we try to target them to all ages.
Well, it sounds like, and from what I've read on your website, and I've just looked at so many of the synopses, it just sounds like you all have done a major, wonderful job in including as many demographic groups as possible. I know that's not a big job because film festivals are not easy, and one of this size is certainly not easy, but obviously you have a great team and a great staff, probably great volunteers, and I know I'm so much
Oh, thank you.
I really have enjoyed talking to you, okay?
Good, me too.
Okay. Yeah, well, we were running out of time here, and again, thank you so much, Hillary, for joining us, for giving us some insight on what to expect at this year's 14th year of the Los Angeles Jewish Film Festival. Tonight sounds like it is going to be one jam-packed opening night. I sure wish I could be there Friday night for the Blue Note, History of Blue Note documentary featuring Don Was, who's the president of Blue Note. And yes, we are showing our age, Hillary and I. Again, we were 10 years old when Was Not Was was a big band. So good to know that not only is Don Wads holding it down in the executive world of being president of Blue Note Records, but he's still making great music. So that's even better to hear as well. So he's got a dual career going on there. So again, if you are in the Los Angeles area, run over to tonight's grand premiere red carpet opening of the Los Angeles Jewish Film Festival. And again, you can go to their website, lajfilmfest.org, to get all the details, the tickets and the schedules and where everything will be screening different films. They got a lot of great films there. Go on the website and just look at some of the lineup there. Is something that so many films, you probably will like several, like I have, and several of them that Hillary mentioned two of them I would definitely like to see. So anyway, that is it. That's going to do it for this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. And I thank my guest so much. She's the boss. She said she doesn't like the word, but she is. Hillary Hellstein, one of the co-founders of the Los Angeles Jewish Film Festival. And again, everything kicks off later tonight. So hopefully you will be there, and maybe you can drop me an email. info@filmfestivalradio.com and tell me what you saw and what I missed out on. But maybe next year, maybe by then we'll be living in LA and base the show out of LA or something. I don't know. But thank you for listening, and we will see you on our next show. Okay, happy film festivaling. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.